say, I don't think results make you a good horse person. I think that your ability to learn and keep learning makes you a good horse person. I think your ability to listen to your animals and put them first is a priority, especially when results are, you know, coming, or you feel like, oh, I could do this to, you know, win that, as long as it's in the best interest of your horse. And I think just being smart with, you know, the management and the care of your horses, you know, they're not machines, they're animals. So I think we're all trying to do our best, but I think we can always be better. You know, myself and my mom are always, you know, looking to the next best thing that can keep our horses super sound, and they get any therapy under the sun every month. And, you know, just the day-to-day tedious, you know, icing, Revitavet, you know, the Beamer blanket, like, utilize all those things, especially at the top of the sport, to give them their best shot, because they are athletes too, and they love their job, you know? So I think doing your best care for them, they can't do it themselves. And just listening to them.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the Practical Horseman podcast, featuring conversations with respected riders, industry leaders, and horse care experts. The show is co-hosted by Practical Horseman editors, and our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. I'm Alana Harrison, and this week's episode is with eventer Kaylana Smith Cook. Kaylana Smith Cook, daughter of top five-star eventer Tammy Smith, has become a successful eventing rider and trainer in her own right, and currently has a promising string of up-and-coming eventing mounts who proved their talent at the Galway Downs International Horse Trials last spring. While she continues to help run her mom's sales program at Next Level Eventing in Temecula, California, the 29-year-old now owns and operates her own training program, K. Smith Equestrian, with around 22 horses, and has cultivated solid partnerships with owners who are invested in the sport and the horse's well-being. Even with her eventing superstar mom, Kaylana didn't take riding too seriously growing up. But after high school, she realized she wanted to take her eventing career seriously. Throughout her formative training days, she, of course, grew up with her mom's training, as well as Australian show jumper Scotty Keach, eventers Gina Ekonomu and Beck Bratling, and dressage rider and trainer Nikki Clark. Kaylana completed her first CCI three-star long at Galway Downs in 2019 aboard her longtime and formative eventing partner, Passepartout, or Pasco. In her eventing program, Kaylana is keenly focused on listening to her horses, learning what they're telling her, and applying that knowledge to bring her eventing mounts along at their own individual pace. In today's podcast, she talks about growing up under the tutelage of her mom and other mentors, her current string of superstar horses, how she balances motherhood herself with such a demanding career, and how she perseveres through the inherent ups and downs of the sport as she chases her goal to be a top U.S. eventer. Before jumping into the discussion, I'd like to thank the sponsor of this podcast, Equinavia, and share their message. Summer is in full swing, and so is the new collection at Equinavia. From breeches to bridles, we outfit riders from head to toe, and horses from hoof to head, with everything you need to ride in comfort and confidence. Rooted in Scandinavian tradition, our gear blends timeless style with true functionality, so you can focus on what matters most, the ride. The ride starts at equinavia.com. That's EQUINAVIA.com. Hi, Kaylana. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to chat with us today. We are thrilled to have you.
Hi, thank you for having me as well.
While you continue to help with your mom's sales program at Next Level Eventing, I understand you've now been running your own training business for about the last 3 years. Can you tell us a little bit about branching out on your own and building your own program from the ground up?
I'm definitely still with my mom. We train out of the same facility. And we do have separate businesses, but we do very much work together, and she's a huge mentor for me, especially, you know, coming up the levels and learning to be at the top of the sport. I do have my own program though, with about 22 horses in the program, and I have a few training horses, a few sales horses as well. It's kind of like, and a few clients that have been with me for about 4 years now. So it's not a massive program, but there's definitely plenty to do and lots of travel. And I kind of want to do a little bit of everything. And obviously my top priority, I would say, is to be a top rider and represent the United States someday. But I do enjoy teaching, and I do enjoy like my small knit, you know, client group. So just keeping it, you know, balanced.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you had quite a successful go at Galway Downs, the International Horse Trials, last March with several of your up-and-coming eventing horses. Would you mind just telling us a little bit about those horses and, you know, your partnership? And
yeah, I would say this year has been very exciting, and it's kind of enlightened me to look at the future and get really excited about the horses that I'm riding. I've come across and added a few horses to my string, and I've now been riding the horses for at least 6 months now. So I always say, you know, it takes probably a year to get to know a new horse, even if they're experienced, and I'm very much in tune and want a great partnership with my horse. So I would say now this year, I feel kind of on the same page with all of them. And I'm just really excited to get to show the world what they can do. Yeah, I recently just started riding a horse for Jen and Molly, Duda. Yeah, and his name's Colin Cooley. He's going prelim. I just recently started riding him, and I'm super excited for him as well. So, you know, maybe do a two long or move him up to the three star and do a couple three star shorts at the end of the year. So he's an 8 year old, and I'll keep him west this year and just aim for like the two long, maybe, or an intermediate at the end of the year at Galway. And I'll take him, I think, to AECs. I've just done a couple of new shows or a couple shows on him so far, and he's a cool little dude. So excited for that partnership.
We'll be sure to be on the lookout for him.
Dan is his name. Dan's the man. Yeah, so cute.
No, for sure. And I also, you kind of alluded this, but I learned from your mom that you've kind of cultivated a great group of owners as well as horses. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience, like how you find kind of the right partnerships with the owners and horses?
I mean, I think I've definitely had a one up just being, you know, in my mom's program and having her mentorship on how to build a relationship with, you know, certain people. And I have a few people that are also supporting my mother. So Ruth Bly, I do ride a couple horses for her right now, and I've sold one or two horses for her as well. But I do have a mare that's 9 this year that I'm competing for her. And I've been riding her for about 2 years. And I have another owner, Bonner Carpenter, who has been kind of a part of the program. I don't know if you remember Heather Morris, but Heather and my mom ran a business together, and Heather used to train with Mike Huber. And so anyways, fast forward, it's a long story, but Bonner ended up having a couple kids, and I've known her since I was a little girl, her and Seal, her mom, and they recently decided to, you know, support me, and I have a couple horses that I'm competing for them, and they've been so supportive. Bonner is like the ultimate owner, I always say, you know, and in and out of horses, I really look up to her, and she is just a great human inside and out of the horse world. So I'm really grateful to have her support. And I have a fairly new owner as well, Brianna Halliday, that our relationship started kind of unorthodox. She's very much into Dutch harness horses, and reached out to me, kind of reached out to my mom, and then I connected with her, and she asked me if I would break this Dutch harness horse for her that was 3. And I saw her a couple of months ago, like through another trainer. And I just thought she had the cutest face, but little did I know she was like one spicy thing. I don't know if you know any background with them, but sometimes they're in the Amish, and so they're not, you know, totally produced great, or handled very well. I can't speak for everyone, but this horse definitely had some trauma. So anyways, I did kind of turn her down a couple times because I was so busy. And I just said, you know, if you're okay with it, you know, not going super fast, I'm very specific on how I develop young horses, and I think they need breaks here and there, and I don't like to be rushed in my work. So she said, no problem, drop the horse off, and kind of the rest is history. And she owns 2 of my like best horses. So really, really grateful. And she's been nothing but fantastic. So, I mean, all of those people that are in my group, and even my clients as well, I'm just really, really excited because I feel like this is the first year that it just kind of feels like all of it's coming together.
Yeah. One of my good friends actually has a Dutch harness horse, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're so cool. Yes. You know, those horses, oh, they're so cool, but I've never met anything like them. Yeah. They're so smart. And it's actually been really cool to just get to know them and
see
how their different brains work.
No, for sure. Kaylana, I was super interested in what you kind of mentioned about with your younger horses. Would you mind talking a little bit about like what that, I know every horse is an individual, but kind of like what your timeline looks with your younger horses and kind of how you know when they are ready to progress?
I mean, I think I'm still mastering that. You know, we're always kind of playing a guessing game with them because they can't communicate with us through language. But I would say it's more a feeling. And I could probably, I don't know how to explain it. Probably shy on the side of being cautious, I'm not totally into, you know, if they're this age, they go this level, they're this age, they go this level. But I do go off of a feeling, and, you know, some horses progress faster than others, but it's just kind of listening to them and getting to know them in and out. And they do change, you know, some, they can be going great and then you hit a little speed bump and then you got to go back and do some homework. So I think just really communicating with them and, you know, listening to them throughout their career is the best way.
Circling back to your roots, can you tell us a little bit about your early riding days? Was it love at first sight with horses because of your mom, or did you have different passions or do different sports as a kid?
Yeah, I would say I didn't take riding super seriously as a young one. So I would dabble on and off and go to the barn with my mom because obviously it was her passion. I do remember every day my mom would go out and take me to the barn, and I had this pony that I would go back to I would have to run past this giant goose that always tried to attack me to get to this pony in the backfield. And I was always so terrified, but the pony was worth it. His name was Pepper. And, it kind of just started from there, and I casually did it, through high school, took a little bit of a break, but it wasn't until after high school that I really, I just kind of felt a pull to just keep coming back. And, that's when I kind of knew that it was really something that I wanted to take seriously.
And just out of curiosity, out of the other equestrian sports, was there something in particular about eventing that drew you to it?
I mean, I love the cross country, so I don't think that there's another feeling that can kind of replicate that. I don't have a lot of experience with like high level show jumping or the top level of dressage, but I think the amount of partnership and just like the adrenaline, and it's just indescribable when you have a really good horse that, you know, you just sync with and click with and it goes all right. But I'm sure you're well aware that it doesn't always go right. I just was at Rebecca Farm, and I took a tumble at the coffin, and you know, it was going great till then. So I think that eventing is just, it's kind of addicting, I guess, you know, because it just doesn't always go well, and kind of always have something to work towards, and you're always, it's like putting the pieces of the puzzle together constantly. But I will say the horses won't do it at the top unless they want to. And I think that's what's most special for it. You know, you don't really feel like you're making them or forcing them to do it. They definitely love the job.
I understand you had several different mentors and coaches when you were growing up through your formative years, but we have to ask just what was it like when your mom was coaching you? Was it like more pressure, or was it more like there's the mom vibe?
Yeah, the mom vibe, mom-daughter vibe. You know, as I age, I have more and more appreciation for her knowledge and her support, which I think most people realize that at an older age. I would say, like, she still does coach me, and I do have a lot of help as well, just to be intermittently in between shows and stuff like that. But I think the writing's on the wall with the mother-daughter relationship. You know, we bicker, and I have my opinion and she has hers for sure. But I think just me separating you know, the coaching from the relationship has been something that's been most important, because at the end of the day, she is, you know, one of the best in the world, and I want to be too. So that's something right. that I need to work on.
Well, yeah. It's probably, you know, the downsides with the upsides. It's probably also yeah. being amazing to be able to bounce ideas, you know, off each other.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Right.
For sure.
Exactly.
And then in addition to your mom, can you tell us about other notable coaches or mentors that have kind of brought you along?
Definitely Nikki Clark. I worked with her as a young adult, just like at the start of my, you know, riding career. I groomed for her for a few years, and she gave me a really good foundation on the flat. And just kind of like kickstarted those basics that I really needed. And recently, Scott Keach has been a huge mentor for me over the last 4 years. Yeah, 4 years now. I met him right after I had my kid, which is, I kind of hit a, I was kind of relying, I think, on my just natural ability to ride. But I think after having my kid, and, you know, some people go through some mental health stuff after, and I think it kind of just all hit me at once, and I wasn't quite sure where to go. But I knew that if I was going to feel like I was feeling, I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to continue. And he really took me under his wing and helped me with my jumping and helped me with my eye and seeing a distance. And it's, you know, been a process, but he's been so supportive. And I think one of the, just, I can't thank him enough, really. Yeah. And I do get help from, you know, Jock Padgett and Ian Stark when they're out here quite a bit. And whenever they're here, I'm hopping on the train for sure. And I do have a sports psychology coach that I met about a year ago, Natalie Hummel, who has also been a game changer for me. I think her and Scott and my mom, of course, have just been getting that extra step to, you know, being able to see myself in peak performance and be confident in it. After having a kid, they've really helped me find my way. So, yeah.
And Kaylana, could you tell us, whether it's one or two, any significant, horses in your life, that you felt, you know, just were kind of game changers for you?
I had a horse named Passepartout, and we call him Posco in the barn. And he was my first advanced horse. And I think he was the horse that kind of broadened my dreams. You know, I you don't know until you know, right? And I think he was underestimated, and a young rider horse that wasn't, I don't think a lot of people were a fan of, but I came across him, and he came as a sales horse into the barn. My mom, you know, saw something in him, and with the help of my in-laws, I was able to purchase him, and kind of the rest is history. And he got me on the map and got me on the U25s and did my first advance, and kind of was competitive at that time. And he's so special, you know, such a smart horse. And I got him later, so he was 10 turning 11. But within, you know, 3 years, he was going advanced, and my mom ended up riding him at the four long at Galway Downs, and was second in that national championship behind Boyd. And I think that was like a turning point too. Even like we were starting to say, wow, this is actually a really cool horse. And then he did that. And yeah, he's just He's my best bud. So I still have him. He's hanging out in the field. He's only 16 this year. Yeah. So I did a four long with him a few years ago, and I think he just had a lot of miles on him. So
yeah. Does he do anything now, like at the lower levels, or?
He teaches some lessons here and there. Yeah. I've thought about leasing him out, but you know, I have this thing where, you know, horses are meant to be horses as well. So, and he's happy where he's at, just living in the field and coming in every once in a while to, you know, torture some kids. He has such a funny personality. Yeah. Yeah. So he's definitely happy with where he's at.
And do you have any favorite training exercises, like for any of the eventing phases, that you would maybe recommend to people at the lower levels?
Yeah, I mean, I think rideability for sure is key. And, you know, what does that really mean? I think any exercises, I do a lot of pole work. So cantering poles on the ground, I'll just, you know, once or twice a week, I'll go out to the jump arena and just spread poles all around and just canter those poles to work on my rhythm and adjusting my rhythm back and forth. And can I have that same feeling of balance over the pole, whether, you know, I'm going training prelim speed or I'm in a collected canter. So I would say that's definitely an exercise that I would recommend. Can tell you a lot.
And Kaitlana, do you struggle with competition nerves? And if so, would you mind sharing how you kind of deal with them in the moment?
Yeah. I think my nerves ebb and flow. So just, you know, addressing those as they come. I was pretty nervous leading up to Rebecca Farm, and didn't really know how to cope with that because I had been pretty, you know, level all year. But obviously with the help of Natalie and everything, I think it's just doing the work and sticking to, you know, a certain routine that you have. You know, I'm pretty specific on, you know, when I get ready, when I go to get on my horse, how I put my helmet on, if I put my helmet on before my boots. It's, you know, all silly little things, but I think those things just, you know, it's just like ticking off a box as you get closer to, you know, performing. And, you know, by the time you get in that saddle, it's game time. So I think just having your people, your system, you know, trust in yourself and your team and your horse, and got to give it your all.
Are funny superstitions?
I think I have more than I should. But I definitely always put my boots on before my helmet, always have a hairnet on. I have a certain shirt that I wear each phase. what's a funny one? I will say I'm very specific about the socks that I wear.
Yeah.
So strange. Oh, man. But that's just a me thing, you know?
Yeah.
Have the right socks.
Yeah. And you kind of touched on this, but obviously in this sport, things often don't go as planned. Can you talk about that and just how you deal with those lower moments and get past them?
Yeah. I think that as I've, you know, experience the things that I have in the last 5 years, I think it's, you never know what to expect, and you can't usually see it coming when, you know, it's not the best result or the result that you want. But I think, you know, just having my little girl and kind of bringing me back down to, you know, this is kind of what is important, you know, my family and my kid, and the sport is, you know, 100% important, and it's a priority. But I think as a top athlete, you can get a little bit lost in, you know, the results, and it can overconsume you, you know. I think it's a pretty hard goal, you know, to be at the top level, especially, you know, here and representing the United States. And there's a lot to look at with social media, and, you know, you're always looking and seeing something, you know, that you would probably want. And, you know, I think finding things that you see and you want, or maybe you're not quite there yet, it's just like pulling you to, instead of like, oh, I can't have that because of X, Y, and Z, you know, I try and look at it and say, okay, well, that's what I want, and that's where I'm headed. So, you know, how do I get there? And when it doesn't go well, you know, I think just having your goals on the side, it's just another learning curve. You know, I drove up to Montana, and I had really high hopes, and I ended up falling off, hitting my head just right, and, you know, didn't get to compete the other ones. But I'm looking ahead, and I'm looking forward, and, you know, that was just a bump in the road, right?
So, right. Right.
I'm obviously grateful to have that string of horses, which can be easier to, you know, look ahead, but I also didn't have them, you know, before. So I know what it's like to, you know, not have those, you know, those up and coming superstars as well. And I think that I've done a good job of, you know, working and producing horses and just riding kind of what comes my way, and building relationships with people. So, yeah, I think just as much as you can, feel upset if you need to feel upset, and then we're on to the next. So
it's just kind of one of those things that I think horses inherently teach us, you know?
I mean, they're really good at it.
You got to roll with the disappointments as well, as well as the ups. So I think, you know, people who don't ride have no idea just how incredibly fit you have to be to to be an event. Would you mind sharing, like, just how you stay fit for riding, like, outside of the saddle? Any specific workouts or exercises that you find, you know, really help with your core strength?
So this is funny, because I actually can't do a lot of, you know, huge physical activity, because I don't have the greatest back. I had back surgery a little over a year ago. Which, I don't know, I got really lucky, because I feel better than ever, and I was really struggling with that. But I do a lot of low impact exercises, and I have the help of Britta Peterson, who's down at San Diego, and she's a physio, and she's brilliant. I mean, whatever you need, she's got it. And she helps me with just getting my core strength. I feel stronger than I have. I've been working with her just more and more over the past year. But you may not be running or sprinting, but those exercises that she has me do for sure are brutal. I text her, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so hard. I can't walk.
And Kaylana, can you remind us, I'm so sorry, was your back surgery, was that due to a riding accident, or was it unrelated?
I think it was just an accumulative
stress.
I kind of hit myself the right way a few times falling off, and I had, you know, a pretty bad disc bulging in my nerve root. And I waited a year, just tried to kind of work through it, ride through it. And then I just couldn't do it anymore. So, super grateful that it worked, and I feel probably 90%, and that's huge.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah, I have a new, just found appreciation for people who are in, you know, a constant amount of pain, because it definitely overconsumes you. So really grateful that I've been able to heal from that.
Well, very happy to hear that too.
Yeah.
And obviously, Kaylana, you are also a mom with your daughter's Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you talk just about how you balance motherhood with a sport that's so demanding?
Yeah. I mean, I have an unbelievable amount of support from my parents and my husband's parents and my husband as well. He's a firefighter. So he actually is home quite a bit with his schedule. But I think just, you know, when I'm home, I try and be as present as I can. And, you know, she'll come to the barn with me when she doesn't have school, or I pick her up and she'll hang out with me. And I think we just, you know, kind of plan ahead on trips when I'm not home. We'll go to the beach, go to the mountains, do whatever we can to just kind of have those family moments as well. But I definitely have a lot of support. You know, she's old enough to go to school now. And she's just the best. So yeah, really lucky.
Appear to have the horse bug, or can you tell?
I can't really tell, you know, because I was a bit similar. I was kind of here nor there. But she's going to do something. I don't know what it is. She really, really, really enjoys swimming right now. So who knows? Maybe she'll play water polo like I did, or be a swimmer. But she's constantly in the water. So yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. And if you had to say, Kaylana, why do you think you've been successful as a rider?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have, you know, a lot of more goals, but I appreciate that. I think for me, riding has come a bit more naturally, I think. I've just been blessed in that way. And I'm a bit of a visual learner. So, you know, I kind of watch and then kind of try and, you know, practice. But I think ultimately it's the drive, you know. I think I've had plenty of reasons to not do it, especially, you know, growing up and watching my mom, because I think everyone knows by now that she hasn't had the easiest, or the most successful way to the top, for sure. So I think just seeing all of that and, you know, still wanting it, and, you know, failure doesn't really get to me, kind of in my core. You know, I may on the surface or be disappointed, but I do know that I want to be one of the best at my core. So I think just never giving up and going back to, you know, what I really, really want.
Yeah. What's the hardest part of the sport for you?
The hardest part. I mean, that's hard to say, because we are pretty lucky. just like working outside with animals every day. But I think the hardest part for me is just the balance of aligning my goals and what I need to do, but still managing, you know, feeling like I'm giving 100% to my family, to my husband, to my clients, you know, or even the horses at home that aren't going to the horse shows. I spread myself and I want to give my all, but there's only so much time, you know, you can give. And so I think it's really easy for me to, you know, just get on a schedule, but then you can't forget everything else, you know, and that can be a bit overwhelming. Yeah, I think that's the hardest part.
It's a lot. I know. If only there were like, you know, 48 hours in one day.
Yeah,
be awesome.
Exactly.
Kaylana, yeah. Is there any advice that you would give your younger self?
Yeah, I mean, I think my younger self, I think, it's a hard one.
No worries. Like, if anything, just wait till you get to my age and then you'll have a lot of advice to your younger self.
Well, that's why it's hard. It's like, I feel like I could give my younger self so much advice.
Right.
You know, it's just like, don't do that. Don't be thinking that. Like, it doesn't really matter. I think, I'm not very old. I'm 29. So, I have a lot more to learn, but I think just my early 20s, I would say just like, it is going to be what it is going to be, you know, and you just gotta go with it, you know? I think that's pretty much
like
what
good advice for life in general, right?
It's going to happen. So just buckle up.
Right. And then last serious question, but in your opinion, what makes a good horse person?
I mean, I say, I don't think results make you a good horse person. I think that your ability to learn and keep learning makes you a good horse person. I think your ability to listen to your animals and put them first is a priority, especially when results are, you know, coming, or you feel like, oh, I could do this to, you know, win that, as long as it's in the best interest of your horse. And I think just being smart with, you know, the management and the care of your horses, you know, they're not machines, they're animals. So I think we're all trying to do our best, but I think we can always be better, you know. Myself and my mom are always, you know, looking to the next best thing that can keep our horses super sound, and they get any therapy under the sun every month. And, you know, just the day-to-day tedious, you know, icing, Revitavet, you know, the Beamer blanket, like utilize all those things, especially at the top of the sport, to give them their best shot. Because they are athletes too, and they love their job, you know? So I think doing your best, care for them, they can't do it themselves. And just listening to them. Yeah.
Sure. And then we did have just a couple fun questions. If nothing comes to you, no worries, but if you could go back in time and relive any ride in your lifetime, what would it be?
Yeah. I would say probably I did the 3-star long. It was my first 3 long with my horse Posco. And, you know, I still replay that ride in my head.
just where was it?
At Galway Downs.
Galway, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we were 4th there that year, and that was kind of the tipping point of like, wow, this is really cool. And he was so fast, like 45 seconds under the time, which some people say like, oh, you're crazy. But I didn't feel like I was going fast, you know, it was so smooth, and he was just so good. And you could totally feel that he was just having a blast. So, yeah.
Best feeling ever, right?
Best feeling ever.
And do you have a favorite type of jump? Like just something you love to go over, whether it's
really good? No, I'm just kidding. You mean like an actual jump?
Yeah. Or, yeah. Whether it's like a spin here, a coffin or.
I really do like drops. And I like quick footwork. So maybe like a sunken road or, you know, chevron to chevron, combinations I really like. Yeah.
Excellent. Mares or geldings?
Oh, I'm a mare girl. Yeah. I love my ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for your form. Life, but yeah,
they're always putting me in check too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lena. Is there anything like about you that maybe most people don't know that you could share with us, whether it's another hobby or just anything? And if nothing comes to mind,
pretty level girl. I love a good day at Target. I mean, that just like really does it for me. Getting my nails done, going to Target. I mean,
just tops off.
Yeah. Maybe a little winery after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. And Kaylana, I know we covered a lot, but is there anything whatsoever I didn't think to ask you that you wanted to share? I know we did cover quite a few topics.
Yeah, no, I think that covers it all. So thank you for having me.
Well, it was so good to catch up with you again, and thank you so, so much for joining us today. Thank you for listening to this week's conversation with Kaylana Smith Cook, and a big thank you to the episode's sponsor, Equinavia. You can subscribe to the Practical Horseman podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. While you're there, please rate and review the show. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Alana Harrison, and you've been listening to the Practical Horseman Podcast.